It is the nightcap here on VSiN, and boy, what a day it is in sports. We got the NBA draft going on as we speak. We are getting near pick number 20. We'll recap it all for you. What plays have hit, what over-unders have come home. If you have been listening to the show or listening to the network, we've been all over the NBA draft here for quite some time, so we'll get you everything you need to know in the NBA draft. The surprises, as we all expect, there would be some surprises, and we'll discuss which was maybe the most surprising play. How about a guy who was over-under was 27.5 at close at DraftKings and went number 12 to San Antonio in Josh Primo? That happened in the lottery. So we'll discuss everything that has unfolded there. We've had blockbuster trades. Nothing official yet, but it certainly feels like the Los Angeles Dodgers. Last night, we were discussing Dodgers, Giants, Padres. It's going to be a race to see if one of them can get the crown jewel of the trade deadline in Max Scherzer. Well, earlier today, it looked like San Diego was going to get Max Scherzer. That was what was reported, but nothing official. And for the Washington Nationals, a team that won the World Series 2 years ago, has a terrible farm system. It's got a lot of pieces to sell off. They must have picked up the phone and kept on calling or listening, because now it looks like the Los Angeles Dodgers have come in, and the latest is the Dodgers will be getting not only Max Scherzer, but Trey Turner as well in a blockbuster deal that'll send a handful of prospects back to the Washington Nationals, including the number one and two prospects in the Dodgers organization. But for the Dodgers, a team, as you see right there, odds at DraftKings, their chances to win the World Series have shortened even more. And just a tweet a moment ago from Circus Sports, I believe they are looking like they are going to be dropping down to around 7-2 or so. So that was one of the big blockbusters that has come and gone. I think the folks here in Las Vegas can rejoice, at least sports fans in Las Vegas can rejoice, because the United States was able to win their Gold Cup semifinal against Qatar, and they will be playing in the Gold Cup final on Sunday. We'll have the other semifinal taking place momentarily, Mexico and Canada. So a whole lot going on, and we'll dive into the NBA draft in its entirety. I haven't even mentioned the real big blockbuster move of the day, which is the Los Angeles Lakers, similar to what we thought was going to happen with the San Diego Padres. We thought a deal was in place. We thought the Los Angeles Lakers would be getting Buddy Hield in exchange for Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma. A deal that I thought made a ton of sense. You get a 40% shooter from long range into that team. Three-point shooters are such a commodity for a guy like LeBron James. He runs the pick and roll so well with Anthony Davis. But similar to what we thought, or what we found out with the Dodgers and Padres, that trade wasn't to be, and someone else stepped in, and that was the Washington Wizards. So the Washington Wizards are now reportedly going to get Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the 22nd pick, which is about to be selected here in just a little bit. And Russell Westbrook is heading to the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll dive into this trade and what it means for the Lakers. I don't like it at all for the Los Angeles Lakers. To me, it makes no sense. Russell Westbrook is getting up there in age. Yes, he gets triple-doubles galore, but how does he help out a guy like LeBron James? And you're also giving up multiple shooters and giving up the 22nd overall pick in this upcoming draft, where you could have got a piece like a Jared Butler. So I don't understand this move. We'll certainly get into it a little bit more as the show goes on. The NBA draft is unfolding, how those picks have fallen into place. Let's get it rolling. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. It It is the nightcap here on VSiN. Tim Murray with you live from the Circus Sportsbook as we're keeping our eyes on the NBA draft. We just had a trade just a little bit ago as the Charlotte Hornets traded with the New York Knicks to go up and get, I believe it was Keon Johnson there at the number 19 selection. And Kai Jones, I beg your pardon. So Kai Jones is the 19th pick. And Jalen Johnson goes off at number 20. And do you see the smile on my face? Well, that's because Jim Root is about to join us, who will be with us for the next 3 hours. And Jalen Johnson did go after 14 and a half, so that makes me very happy. Also bringing in Jim Root, live from Chicago, Illinois, with his Bucks championship shirt on there. So we got a lot to get to, Jim, as the night goes on. And Jalen Johnson, the most recent selection, that has been reported, he will be heading to the Atlanta Hawks. And a high upside guy, but you and I had similar trains of thought, as did other people on this network. This was my favorite play of the draft, Jalen Johnson, over 14 and a half. It eventually went to 15 and a half. And now he's going to go off the board at 20. So that is where we start. Jalen Johnson, a guy that, Jim, certainly disappointing with his time at Duke, but a prized recruit coming out of high school. And this is certainly a guy that, could be it's a high upside type of player and maybe a good spot for him to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had some off the court issues, and I think that's what we all zeroed in on in terms of taking that over with him. It just never really seemed like he was going to be a lottery guy this year, at least as we were getting closer and closer to the draft. He got invited to the green room, recruiting pedigree, but it took all the questions off the court. And what happened with Duke last year and his senior year of high school, it's a worthy gamble for Atlanta. They've got a lot of players in that rotation already, so somebody they trust they can develop, but it makes sense that we hit the over, and yeah, I'll smile along with you here.
Yeah, so that was our two of our plays, and as we go through the first round, it's not all sunshine and lollipops. I did have Corey Kispert under 13 and a half, and a couple dominoes, and that's what we kind of expected, dominoes to fall, and that does not come home. As Brad Evans would say, I got seduced by the juice. The plus 155, it was a trap, as Admiral Akbar would say. It was a trap. I fell into it. Corey Kispert doesn't go. One bet that didn't come home for you was Davion Mitchell, and this was pretty surprising because he was one of those risers, Jim, in the draft boards, and then started to fall. You know, right after the national championship, everyone said, oh, is this a six-player draft? You know, after Scottie Barnes and Jalen Suggs, it's Davion Mitchell. And then once you started to dive into it a little bit more, I think that shine started to wear a little bit. A lot of people anticipated him to go number 14 to a place like Golden State or number 13 at Indiana. That's why over under 12 and a half was an intriguing play for you. But ultimately, Sacramento gets him at 9. I'm a little surprised by this. It doesn't make a ton of sense fit-wise. You know, you got De'Aaron Fox there. Today Sacramento was trying to move Buddy Hield. That trade fell through. I know they're going to still keep trying to go there. But Davion Mitchell going number 9, hell of a run in the national championship and was terrific, but feel like a little bit of a reach there for Sacramento.
Yeah, definitely. I think I liked the over 12 and a half because it seemed like Indiana was going to take somebody that was going to try to be like a win now type of player. And they ended up going that way.
We're having some technical difficulties there with Jim. We'll see if we can get Jim back in here. But yeah, Davion Mitchell, certainly a bit surprising to see him ultimately go number 9. Just recapping where we are now, if you are just tuning in. Cade Cunningham goes 1, no surprise there. Jalen Green, remember, it wasn't that long ago, Jalen Green was plus money to be the number 2 pick, and ultimately he went off as a massive favorite to be the number 2 pick in this draft. So he ends up landing there, and he goes number 2 to the Houston Rockets, and Evan Mobley 3. So 1-2-3, as we all anticipated, that was the way that it went. A slight curveball was Scottie Barnes going number 4. There was some late buzz that Toronto may not have been in love with Jalen Suggs and might have been intrigued by the prospect of Scotty Barnes. Remember, Scotty Barnes, long, terrific defensive player, struggles a bit offensively, so some high upside there with Scotty Barnes coming out of Florida State. And they ended up passing on Jalen Suggs. They went with Scotty Barnes. So quickly, Orlando, and I think rightfully so, grabbed Jalen Suggs. So 1 through 5, the 5 players we anticipated to go 1 through 5 went that way. However, 4 and 5 flipping there because Jalen Suggs ultimately went number 5 and Scotty Barnes went number 4. And you got the odds right there. We're showing you on VSiN.com. You know, Scotty Barnes was -295 to go 5th overall. Jalen Suggs +275. So if you had the foresight, and I did see one or two mock drafts that had this predicted, but the majority of mock drafts anticipated what we ended up talking about last night, which was Jalen Suggs 4, Scotty Barnes 5. So a slight tweak in what was there. But I think the first real surprise came at number 6, and that's where we all expected the draft to really get going. Because number 6 was Oklahoma City. What were they going to do? A lot of people expected James Bouknight to be the guy selected at number 6, and that's why you saw James Bouknight out of UConn. His over-under kept just plummeting, falling all the way down. It ultimately closed at 6.5, and it was juiced to the under because it was felt he was going to be a slam dunk there at number 6 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I got to give credit to a handful of NBA draft folks out there who follow this for a living. And what they said was Sam Presti, the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is as buttoned up, is as secretive as any GM in the league. And the fact that it was so out there that James Bouknight was going to go number 6 had to make you feel a little uncomfortable that this may not be the way it's going to go. And ultimately, it was Josh Giddey, the Australian product. He goes number 6. So the over-under on Josh Giddey, which, by the way, was heavily juiced to the under. He was at 10.5. That was the closing number for Josh Giddey. -260, because the thought process was for Josh Giddey, when the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies made the deal that they made earlier this week, moving from 17 to 10, that the move was ultimately going to be Josh Giddey at 10. So that felt like the floor was number 10. Maybe Golden State would think about Josh Giddey, but ultimately it was Oklahoma City and Sam Presti who went up and got Josh Giddey. So that was the first kind of wrinkle, curveball, so to speak, of the draft. And then sitting there at 7 was Golden State. Golden State has been one of the more intriguing teams this whole draft process because at 7 and 14, last year getting the second overall pick in James Wiseman, many thought, okay, well, they're going to package this and try to build for now. Or if they don't end up drafting or trading away 7 and 14 and number 2 from last year in James Wiseman, that maybe they'll get a guy who can go in right away, whether it be Davion Mitchell or if James Bouknight is there. Well, James Bouknight was there, and they went with Jonathan Kuminga, a high upside guy, so you're able to cash your under 7.5 on Jonathan Kuminga. But Jim, you know, the real curveball coming with Josh Giddey, not a great shot maker or creator, but his precision, his passing capabilities are tremendous. People speak so highly of him. They think he may have the highest IQ, basketball IQ of anyone in this draft. So you see Sam Presti, and you know, you and I have a little competition going, and I think last check you have the lead, but I took an early lead because I wasn't convinced. I was scared off the fact that everybody out there felt like James Bouknight was a lock to go number 6. And wouldn't you know, Sam Presti throws a little bit of that curveball, and it's Josh Giddey out of Australia.
Yeah, well, the true curveball is me going in and out of this broadcast. So you're the legend for sticking around. But I'll try not to leave you hanging anymore if I can. But yeah, a very surprising pick with Giddey. I mean, that was supposed to be who Memphis was targeting at 10. It seems like maybe Oklahoma City's just taking that big swing. They're way down at the bottom of the standings right now. This is the kind of swing they have to take, considering that they're not ready to start moving up the standings. They've got all these future picks. They got 2 more from Houston tonight. Giddy is at least intriguing. I mean, he's fills up the stat sheet over in Australia. Our friend Sam Vecenie has seen him play in person. Seems like a really good leader, very promising young player. But yeah, the shot's kind of broken. He's not a mega athlete or anything. I'm curious to see what he looks like coming over into the pro game, especially right away. It seems like it's going to be developmental. So yeah, definitely a surprise from Mr. Presti.
Well, I want to go back to the top five. Cade Cunningham goes to Detroit. And you know, it's funny because we'll get into some, you know, rookie of the year thoughts and fits. But at number four, a slight surprise. And based on the odds it was, and I was on with Jeff Parles earlier this week, and he said, "Do you know what of the top five could be tweaked?" And you know, full disclosure, I didn't bet this. And last night on the show, I thought it would be Jalen Suggs to four, but I said, if anything, it would be Toronto not picking Suggs there of that top five. That could be the tweak. And you saw a little bit of smoke out there that maybe they were more intrigued of Scottie Barnes. I was listening to, I think it was Sam Vecenie's podcast earlier today, and he said, you know, Jalen Suggs, while I think he will go to Toronto, just paraphrasing Sam, he said they're not as high on him as maybe some may think, and they ultimately go with Scottie Barnes. So, you know, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Scottie Barnes and what he can bring immediately to a place like Toronto, because I thought it made a ton of sense for Jalen Suggs. I love Jalen Suggs. You know, we watched obviously a ton of him at Gonzaga. He's a winner, ready-made point guard, and it just seemed to make a lot of sense to pair him with Fred VanVleet with the departure of Kyle Lowry. However, you know, Scottie Barnes is maybe a higher upside type of guy and just a true lockdown defender. And you think about the athleticism, and if ultimately they don't trade Pascal Siakam, man, they got a lot of athleticism. OG Anunoby on that squad as well. So that's a really intriguing play at number four for the Raptors to go with Scottie Barnes out of Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, they could be just totally suffocating on defense with him out there. I do wonder, and the ESPN broadcast made this point too, if it is a sign of a potential trade of Pascal Siakam, if this is a more rebuilding move. You know, they see Lowry potentially going out the door as a free agent. You bring in a little more of a high upside guy with Barnes, a young guy, rather than, you know, Suggs seems like he's more ready now. You know, they're the same draft class, but or same high school class, but I just wonder if that's a sign that maybe they're going to move away from Siakam and lean more into a rebuild with Ujiri at the helm there in Toronto. It was surprising because I was with you. I was all in. I thought Suggs was going to be number four. I thought Barnes was going to be number five. And then, okay, maybe the draft gets interesting at six. But barring a trade, I thought this was going to be, you know, Suggs at four. And here we are trying to figure out what they're doing with Barnes. It's an intriguing move by Toronto.
And Orlando, you know, for their credit, Orlando, Scottie Barnes was that perfect guy for Orlando, right? Not a great offensive player, but yeah, he's really athletic and really rangy. But they get a guy who's going to step in right away, Jim, and play point guard. And, you know, what Orlando's been doing, they got Franz Wagner also with the eighth pick, which was under the 8.5 there, which is a winner for those who played Franz Wagner under. So that one was able to come home. But many thought that he would ultimately go to Golden State at 7. That was some of the rumors. But he goes number 8 to Orlando. So it's a bit of a change, I feel like, of the way Orlando normally goes about business. They got two dudes who are ready to go right now. And I would imagine out of the jump, you've got two starters there in Suggs and Wagner.
Yeah, I thought this worked out great for them because adding Barnes felt a little redundant with Jonathan Isaac, just two versatile guys that aren't known for their scoring, but awesome, awesome multi-positional defenders. Now you get Suggs who might fit better with Isaac as part of the nucleus going forward. Wagner, a guy that's, you know, more known on the defensive end, but he's got a burgeoning offensive game, really good transition player. I think the jumper will come around for him. I like what ended up working out with them. I didn't know if they could take Wagner at 8 if they had gotten Barnes at 5, but having Suggs fall to them really opened up more options for them at 8, and I think that freed them up to go with Wagner, and it seems like they got a pretty nice little two-man combo in the lottery here.
By the way, for those of you watching on VSiN.com, I don't know, we probably can't pan to what we've got going on here. There's been some storms in the area, and I looked over my shoulder, And the entire screen right now is the Gold Cup semifinal between Canada and Mexico. So there you could see it a little bit. Look at that. Everything is soccer right now because the NBA draft, so there must be some storms in the area. So before we hit a break, I do want to pull up our bets because another one looks like it's going to come home. Looks like the 21st pick that is going to ultimately be, and let me just check this, it is Keon Johnson going to go to the Pistons. So Sharif Cooper over. So my night is done, Jim. 2-1. The ones I had to lay the juice, I was able to get home. The Corey Kispert, I was seduced by the juice. But ultimately, 2-1. We'll be cheering for Miles McBride here. And who's your guy, your second-round guy we're looking at?
Friends Bleichenberg, my guy Friends.
All right.
Oh, man.
We will get you updated on what has gone on. The latest pick is in. It is Keon Johnson. He is going to the Detroit Pistons, a trade. The Pistons going up to 21. That is Jim Root over there in Chicago. Tim Murray with you here in Vegas. It is the Nightcap on VSiN. It is a nightcap here on VSiN. Tim Murray live from the Circus Sportsbook here in Las Vegas. Jim Root, three-man weave at Second Chance Points with us there in Chicago. Don't be confused. Yes, he was just, 90 minutes north last week, but he went back down south on Lake Michigan and is back in Chicago where he's summering. You got your summer home there in Chicago, Jim.
That makes it sound so much more glamorous than it is, as the folks can probably see behind the apartment. I'm in a little Cracker Barrel here. It is a tiny little apartment, but it is nice to be back in Chicago with some of my friends from back home. I'll be right back out in Vegas come October, and I'll be hopefully sitting next to you at that desk giving you some, you know, hopefully a decent, you know, guest appearance or co-host every once in a while.
You know, anytime I call you, you know, I always want you to come in studio, so we'll have you back in here shortly. We're keeping tabs on the NBA draft. You're kind of an NBA draft react show. We'll tell you what's happening as best as we can, Jim, because things are getting really confusing now. At number 21, Keon Johnson was just selected. He was selected by the Clippers, then was traded to the Knicks, and now I believe he is a member of the Knicks at this point in time. No, he's a Piston now. He's a Piston. I can't keep... So Keon Johnson goes 21. All you need to know about Keon Johnson was his over-under was 13.5. So he goes well over his prop there at DraftKings, but he goes 21 via the Clippers and the Knicks. He goes to the Pistons, and then the Wizards, remember, they traded with the Lakers earlier today. That's not official and won't become official until next week sometime, but the Wizards are at 22. They selected Isaiah Jackson, who's now going to be shipped off to Indiana. So I don't know if anybody is with that, but Aaron Holiday will now be a member of the Washington Wizards, traded for the number 22 selection that was initially owned by the Lakers, who traded for Russell Westbrook. And anyone still with us?
I've watched the draft for years, and I've always been like, man, these guys at the desk, they're not keeping up with the trades. And now I'm just like, I get it. I fully get it. Every time these picks are getting traded twice in a night, how are we supposed to keep up? This is ridiculous. Yeah, we can see who's picked. We'll tell you if it's over or under. And from there, we might have to trust you to check on the trades yourself at this point.
So I do want to point some attention, and I think most of you would be proud. I actually went to my computer today, and I typed this up. Instead of going Notepad, I went to the computer, I used the old Google spreadsheet, and I sent it over to Jim, and I gave him a list of about 35 players of over-unders at DraftKings. And we have a little competition going on. We've got all the over-unders there on the screen. And what I said to Jim was, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a little competition. We're going to pick over-under the prop play, And don't forget about the juice, because these aren't our actual bets, but I just wanted to have a little competition. Ultimately, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only 8 differences, Jim. And right now, as of last check, you've got a 2-1 lead in those differences. I got the first point on the board. I went over James Bouknight at 6.5. You went under. But you came back because I got, you know, I got sucked into the Moses Moody love. And I took under 10.5 in this exercise. You took over. He ended up going 14 to Golden State. And then Trey Murphy landed 17 going to New Orleans. His over-under was 16.5. I went under. I thought he was going to go to Washington at 15. He ultimately goes 17. You had the over. So right now, in our 8 differences, you've got a 2-1 lead. So an early lead for Jim Root in our competition. But overall, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, by cover margin, I think you're doing better, because Bouknight went way over his prop, and I missed that one. And I only got that half-point win for Trey Murphy there. So, you know, if we want to add that up at the end of the night, maybe one of us will win one way, one will win the other. But it's a nice friendly competition we got going that could come all the way down to Luka Garza at the end of the night. That could be the big one at the end.
I had no feel on Luka Garza, but I just felt like his over-under's 54.5. I think Matt Newman's played the under, and I said, you know what? Somebody at 52 is probably going to pick the reigning player of the year. All right, we got a lot to get to, including James Bouknight, who was the faller of the night so far as he lent number 11 to the Charlotte Hornets. We'll get you updated on everything you need to know as the first round continues at the Barclays Center there. We'll get you updated on our bets as well. Hopefully Miles McBride, Mr. Root over there, will come off the board here soon to get him another victory. That's Jim Root in Chicago. Tim Murray with you live from Las Vegas at the Circus Sportsbook. It is the Nightcap here on Visa. VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now's the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN as we're getting further down the first round of the NBA draft. We just saw a flurry of trades to try to keep up on, and I will get you updated on the last handful of picks. Jim Root with us over there in Chicago, three-man weave at Second Chance Points on Twitter. We mentioned Isaiah Jackson was selected by L.A., traded to Washington in the Russell Westbrook trade, and then traded to Indiana in a deal for Aaron Holiday and the 31st pick. For now, Houston is staying pat with their 23rd and 24th pick. Usman Garuba, the young man out of Spain, who a lot of people were intrigued by the way he played defense in those exhibition games against the United States here in Vegas. And then Josh Christopher going 24th. That was a bit surprising. Let me see if I see where Josh Christopher's over-under was. It was certainly it was 33.5. So, Jim, a little bit of a surprise there to see Josh Christopher off the board. And we'll get you updated because there are a handful of guys, Miles McBride, that you certainly are high on, Bones Highland out of ECU, that are in that 28-29 range of over-unders that could be in trouble as Josh Christopher gets selected 24th overall.
Yeah, I thought this would be a big run of guards here in the 20s. A lot of teams, especially after Houston now, a lot of teams that are looking for guys that can contribute early. You know, the Ayo Dosunmus of the world, Miles McBride, Bones Highland, like you mentioned. I thought we'd start to see some of those guys come off the board here now that Houston is off with their upside pick. So I'm hoping McBride will pop up in one of these next 4 selections. Otherwise, I'll be looking up at your profitable night and be very jealous of that. With Houston, though, They've got four first rounders now after they traded back into that 16 spot. I think they've got to get one more and roll out five first rounders in the starting lineup next year. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, because the Oklahoma City trade. So Oklahoma City has just Santa's bag full of picks moving forward, and they traded out of the 16th pick tonight. Didn't get at any of Houston's picks tonight. They just got two future firsts. So you saw Houston at 16 get Sengun, the big man who was playing in the Euro League, whose over-under was pretty low at 11.5. That ultimately goes over. There's a lot of buzz for him going to San Antonio, maybe Sacramento. Ultimately, he goes 16 to Houston. And now at 23 and 24, a lot of European feel for the Houston Rockets. So with this most recent pick at 24, Josh Christopher out of Arizona State, a freshman going to Houston. A complete rebuild, obviously, as the night started with Houston selecting Jalen Green. So right now, you have got Jalen Green, Sengun the center, Usman Garuba, and Josh Christopher. What did you make of Christopher as a prospect, Jim, coming out of Arizona State? 14-4 guy, 6'5 guard.
He's a super athlete, like a mega athlete. It's surprising that, you know, fourth pick of the first round, this is the first one they've taken that actually played college basketball. But, you know, he was in a really tough situation with Arizona State last year. They play pretty unstructured offensively, so getting him out of that and putting him in an actual system should help. And they just had some COVID issues. They ran into a lot of different schedule breaks. Their point guard, Remy Martin, had to step away from the team a couple of times. It was a tough spot for him there at Arizona State. I see the potential. You know, he's a former top 10 recruit, clearly has the burst, especially vertically. He puts up some highlight dunks. So it's a nice project for them to work on. I'm not super high on him personally, but I see what they're looking for, especially for a team that really is starting from scratch and trying to find anything in these four first rounders that they can build around in the future.
Well, I want to go back into the lottery because Zaire Williams was a guy that you started to hear some buzz, and his prop was 18.5. And we talked about it quite a bit because there was a lot of mock drafts that had him going 20, 21 or so, but there was a couple reports out there that he had gone back to Orlando for another workout, and he could be targeted at the 8th overall pick. Now, ultimately, that went to Franz Wagner out of Michigan. So, okay, now Zaire Williams is going to fall. Williams ultimately goes to Memphis. Remember, Memphis traded up from 17 to 10 with New Orleans. They also, you know, picked up Eric Bledsoe, really as a salary cap dump for the New Orleans Pelicans. But Zaire Williams going 10. You know, this is a guy, right, highly recruited, as you talked about with Christopher. Zaire Williams, huge recruit coming out of Sierra Canyon. And I think a lot of people, my hunch is that they watch more Sierra Canyon type of film. And we had Kristen Peek on last night from Yahoo Sports, and she was high on Zaire Williams, seeing him play in high school and then on the AAU circuit. So it feels like Zaire Williams going 10 to Memphis is a high upside type of guy, and that prop of 18.5 really was an easy under if you were able to play that because they, you know, Memphis ultimately grafted a guy with high potential there in Williams.
Yeah, it surprised me. I mean, I guess the buzz that he had gotten made Memphis feel like they had to move up. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that they really wanted Giddey, and the fact that he was gone, they maybe had to go to a second option. But you mentioned all the Sierra Canyon film and the AAU stuff. That's pretty huge. I watched him at Stanford, and I was like, I'm not a fan. And he statistically had just an awful season, like abhorrent. It was terrible. But it was bad circumstances. You know, they were never home in Palo Alto. They had to play a lot of like neutral site games as home games. He had multiple different deaths in the family during the season. Stanford had its own chemistry issues in the locker room, some of the clashes between the younger and older guys. I think it was just a total throwaway year for Zaire Williams. And I think, you know, Kristen Peek making that point last night that people looking at Sierra Canyon at the AAU film, that's smart. Because I think that's a lot more telling of what his future is going to be there than what we saw last year at Stanford. It was just something that too many outside circumstances, too many things he couldn't control. And the athleticism is there. It's a projectable player. So I see what they're going for Memphis here, and they've got a lot of other young pieces to join with them. So it's a promising culture there in for the Grizzlies.
So the most recent picks that are in, Josh Christopher, 24, going to Houston. His over-under was 32.5. And then how about, Christopher's was 33.5. Quentin Grimes out of Houston, he is going to the New York Knicks via the Clippers. We'll get your thoughts, Jim, on the other side. So Quentin Grimes, a couple guys that were projected to be early second-round picks are now going late in the first round. That makes you a little bit worried for some of those prop bets. The Sharif Cooper has already gone over. Ayu Dosunmu is very close to going over. A couple more as well. We'll get you updated on all of those. The NBA draft continues. Jim Root in Chicago. Tim Murray here in Vegas. It's the Nightcap on VSiN. Indeed's instant match searches through millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates who fit your job description instantly. More at Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Pick number 26 of the first round coming up here momentarily. And as of just a couple minutes ago, it looks like Bones Highland from VCU, who is a bit of a riser up some draft boards, looks like he is going to be the selection. That is what has been reported. So if he is selected, that'll be the Denver Nuggets. So I'll try to do some instant reaction with Jim Root. Jim Root from Three Man Weave at Second Chance Points. And then we'll kind of revisit some of the surprises. And we'll also head back to James Booknight, because we didn't talk about the top 10 prop out there earlier today that must have been a tough one to swallow if you said, Booknight's a lock, because he did not go in the top 10. But your thoughts of Bones Highland going to Denver, an instant impact type of guy. And he was a guy that really, in these workouts, Jim, I think many folks were seeing Bones Highland playing well, shooting the ball well, and that's why now he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, this is definitely a spot I was hoping McBride might go. So, you know, they're clearly looking for a combo guard that can defend a little bit, can come in and you know, come off the bench early and play right away. I thought that could be McBride, but they went with Highland. And yeah, like you said, the thing that jumped out, I think, in the workouts was his pull-up shooting. Shooting off the dribble, he was making them from all over the court, well beyond NBA range. And that was what he did at VCU. Easy scorer, makes it look easy out there. A team that needed someone to step up into that primary scoring role after they lost almost all five starters from the previous season, ended up averaging 20 a game. I think he was the A-10 player of the year. Really just an electric type of scoring guard with a lot of length. He probably needs to add some strength to be a really impactful defender in the pros, but he played for a coach that emphasizes defense at VCU. It's a solid pick for a team that definitely needed guard depth. Now there were three for the McBride slot. I'm starting to sweat a little bit, Tim. I need that 2-1 record to match you.
Yeah, I'm done for the night, 2-1. However, I know no money will come home with it. Maybe I'll buy you a beer when you get back to town. But you're now up 4-1 in our differences. So once again, I sent over about 35 over-unders, and we did it blindly. And ultimately, we had eight differences, and now you playing overs has really benefited you because Cam Thomas, I got intrigued. He has not been selected yet. His over-under was 21.5. Victory for you. You went over. I went under. What's actually kind of funny about this whole exercise that we did here, all five the differences, the over has been the right play. So we talked about it a lot, Jim. You know, when you're betting the NBA draft and you're going to bet an under, make sure you're doing the due diligence. I go 2-1 tonight. My only loss, an under. I got greedy. I saw the plus money. You got to kind of put that puzzle pieces together and see what ultimately comes home. So you've got a 4-1 lead and one more victory. You get the crown for the night. But I do want to go back to, speaking of over-unders, James Booknight ultimately closes at 6.5, an instant impact type of guy, dealt with some injuries at UConn. And Jim, the odds for him earlier today before they came off the board, for him to go in the top 10 was minus 1,200. the thought was he'll go to Oklahoma City. If he doesn't go to Oklahoma City, he'll definitely go to Golden State. Well, if he doesn't go to Golden State, then, you know, he's not going to fall past Orlando and Sacramento. He ends up going number 11 to Charlotte. How surprised are you that Bouknight fell? And what type of player, who, by the way, James Bouknight, not thrilled, looked a little upset. I know he put he tried to throw a curve, you know, tried to say that he and LaMelo Ball are going to be a dynamic backcourt, which is true. But Bouknight falling, was that a big surprise for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the difference that I got wrong in our little head-to-head matchup there. I thought he was going six. I thought that was going to be the spot for him. And I thought, if not, like you said, I thought Golden State would love him and pair him with Clay and Steph, give another scoring guard in the backcourt. And I'm sure that's what he thought, too. You know, I'm going to be the number seven pick. I'm going to play for a title contender right away. Instead, he's in Charlotte. He's got to really build from the ground up with LaMelo. It was very surprising to fall all the way out of the top 10. I mean, you don't see a lot of minus 1200s miss, especially in a very information-based event like this. Like, this isn't an upset on the court, whereas, you know, one team got hot shooting. This is a lot of people had bad information, and a lot of teams made surprising choices that domino affected all the way down to him falling to 11. And you know, I guess Charlotte is the beneficiary. They've get this scoring guard. He's a great slasher. His shooting is better than it showed last year. He kind of was dealing with an elbow injury, taking a lot of really tough shots for a team that didn't have much other creation on the perimeter. I think this is a nice little outcome for Charlotte, a guy that fits pretty well with LaMelo, more size in the backcourt, and somebody that can score, whereas LaMelo, you know, he can score, but I think he really likes to flex that passing muscle. This is a good fit for them and a good outcome for the Hornets here.
Yeah, I agree. And a reason that I thought this would ultimately be Corey Kispert going 11. You look at, you know, Michael Jordan's track record. He really likes to pick college players, borderline All-Americans, and Bouknight kind of fits that mold, and it's hard to pass up on him sitting there at 11. But let's get to, I think, probably the biggest surprise of the night so far when you just look at what the odds were. You know, Bouknight falling over under 6.5, he goes 11. So that's a pretty big surprise. How about an over-under of 27.5 getting picked at number 12, and that would be Josh Primo. He goes to the San Antonio Spurs, the guard out of Alabama. We had this on our handy-dandy list. We both picked under 27.5, but I don't think anybody of us, either one of us, anticipated him to go in the lottery. So the San Antonio Spurs are always that wild card. Many people thought that Sengun would be the pick there. And they go with Josh Primo, 6'6 guard out of Alabama. What did you think of this pick, and how do you think, you know, Josh Primo translates to San Antonio? You know, a guy that, what, averaged only about 20 minutes a game, 8 points a game, so it wasn't like his numbers were off the charts there his freshman season at Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, this one happened before we got on air, and we were texting, and this was a wow to me. I was stunned by this. A guy that I kind of liked at Alabama, but I did not see lottery coming for him. He's mega athletic. He's got a lot of bounce, and he hit threes at a really high clip for them last year. But in the lottery, you're looking usually for somebody you think you can project as like a primary creator, somebody that's going to have some upside in terms of setting up teammates. And that wasn't what we saw from him. Now, he came in as a combo guard. I think that was some expectation that he might have some creation juice to him. And apparently he started to show that both in workouts and at the combine. And I guess that turned some heads in the Spurs front office. You know, for years, the Spurs have been the team that's like, whatever they do, that was probably the right move. Maybe that's what everybody mm-hmm. else should have been thinking. And I guess that's what we have to conclude here. I mean, it is surprising to see somebody less than half of his draft prop number. I mean, that's stunning, but they must have seen something in he is the youngest player in the draft. They really have a lot of faith in their player development. I mean, look what they've done with DeJounte Murray, especially Derek White as well. He was an older prospect, but yeah, this definitely is the Spurs voting confidence in themselves for what they believe they can turn Josh Primo into, because yeah, no one saw this coming. Him in the lottery would have been probably, you know, plus 1500 or something if that was actually a line. So stunning, stunning development out of the Spurs.
Yeah, Book Knight falls out of the top 10. He goes 11. Primo goes 12. And then Chris Duarte goes 13 to Indiana. And I have to imagine Rick Carlisle pretty happy about the selection of Chris Duarte. I want to get you the latest selection. Bones Highland, he goes 26 to Denver, the guard out of VCU. So under on Bones Highland comes home at 28.5. The over has already hit on the next draft selection, and that is Cam Thomas out of LSU. He goes to the Brooklyn Nets. Earlier today, the Brooklyn Nets traded Landry Shamet, and they acquired the 29th pick. So they had 27 and 29 heading into tonight. And the 27th pick is Cam Thomas. And, man, if you watch Cam Thomas close out the year, this dude can score, Jim. He scored 30 points in that loss against Michigan. He had 27 against St. Bonaventure in the first round of the NCAA tournament. In his freshman year down in Baton Rouge, he dropped 23 points per game. So a pretty intriguing prospect, young, a scorer, and now he goes to the favorite to win the NBA title in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Tim, I have a question. Do you know, have they changed the rule on how many balls you play with out there?
I still think it's one. I still think it's one.
It should be one. I mean, Brooklyn has all of the creation, the scoring that you need. Cam Thomas is very much a ball in his hands type of guy. I'm very curious to see how this works out. I mean, the scoring gene is absolutely there. I remember when he came out of Oak Hill, I watched the high school tape, and it was like, he's not jumping off the page with athleticism or anything. He just finds ways to create shots, get separation, knocks everything down. He's just going to have to learn how to play off the ball alongside all these great scorers that Brooklyn already has. And, you know, maybe that's not he's been the guy for so long in his life that being the off-the-ball guy that just kind of has to wait his turn and not really find a rhythm except when he gets a random touch here or there, this is a surprising fit for the Nets, but there is a lot of talent, a lot of offensive upside, so it makes sense in that regard.
Yeah, we'll talk to JVT later on in the show, and for me, it almost screams, hey man, go get some buckets in on the second squad. While KD and James Harden and Kyrie do their thing, it just feels like Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni are like, yeah, we'll score 190 a game. That's cool. So Cam Thomas, the most recent selection, his over does cash as he was slotted there at 21.5. The LSU product going to the Brooklyn Nets. Matt Eumanns is going to join us top of the hour. Jim Root in Chicago. Tim Murray with you on Draft Night.